money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
It is just you and I.
I don't know if you're ready. You don't have your glasses. You can't read anything today.
I guess I'll be doing this one, blindness.
I know, because you have to wear a little pair of glasses.
I'm not blind. It's just that my arms are getting a little bit short, right?
Well,
You know, but I think we'll struggle our way through.
Okay, so fair enough. We're ready to talk. I will help you.
Okay, great.
Yes, it's my job. It's what I like to do.
It's important that we do this together.
Of course. So. It is very important.
Okay. So welcome to the show. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. Dave will be blind today, but Reb will keep me on track. I want to give a good shout out to the good folks at Crosspoint Financial and Brent Vandermeer, who's a great friend of ours as well, and all that they do. Brent and his team really do work on I would say collaborate and have the same philosophy on whole life and looking at the whole picture. Wealth generation is Brent's focus and the team at Crosspoint. How do they take your savings and make it grow? And of course, at More Than Enough, and what we do at More Than Enough, it's about how do we create that savings? How do we help you do that? So there's just a great collaboration, and we really appreciate Brent and the folks at Crosspoint for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we have,
don't tell them the topic.
I know. I was just going to say, do I get to read the verse first?
You do get to read the verse first.
How are we doing that?
Yeah, you read for the scriptures first.
Okay.
Why they're important for the topic we're talking about today.
Okay, so here we go. So I'm reading from...
Hang on. Okay, what I'm going to do first is say, is anybody out there feeling the pile? Mm-hmm. Is anybody feeling the pile up? Like, so you are feeling the bills are piling up and your kids' school has just asked for more money to send them on a field trip. Although I heard that sometimes they do it in increments. So you pay something, you know, for 3 months ahead of time, and then they don't ask for anything. And then you pay another installment. I don't know if some school boards are doing that, but I did talk to one mom who was doing that, but the groceries are more expensive now. And you just have a 13-year-old son who started eating way more because he's working out now and lifting weights and wants like 3 dozen eggs a week. So like, is that happening for you? Mm. And then you've got your mortgage, and your mortgage is coming due this year, and you're looking at
to get depressed, Reb.
I know. Yeah, but we're a show of hope. Yeah. So we're getting to the hopeful part. So Dave's going to read some scriptures to encourage us. If you're feeling this way, please listen, because I believe that there is some hope and encouragement that it's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not too late.
Yeah. So, you know, to just reiterate, when the pile is getting like you're just looking up and you're going, oh, my goodness, the pile is high. I'm going to just encourage you to keep looking up. Look up a little bit further than the pile that is in front of you, because that's sometimes what we do is we see the pile and it's getting bigger and bigger, and you're like I can't get around it, I can't get over it, right? But keep looking up, and for some of us, reading the scripture and saying that points us to the Father, and I'm going to read from Proverbs 3, because Proverbs, as we know, is a very practical book. And just have some practical wisdom for us. And here it is, Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 21 says, "My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear, and you can lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your feet from being caught in the trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop there because there's kind of two things in there that we want to highlight today. So first off, we recognize the pile and everybody's pile and everybody's capacity for how big that pile is. There is no comparison here. When you see the pile and you start to go, oh, it's just too big, too overwhelming, then again, my encouragement right off the get-go at the start of this show is keep looking up. Look up a little bit further, higher than the pile, and turn your face to Christ. And again, Christ gives us a common sense, right?
I went to cross-reference my New King James mm-hmm. Version because I have it in the studio today, and it's sound wisdom and discretion, but mm-hmm. I really love the New Living Translation. Sometimes we were talking about that at church this mm-hmm. weekend. It's really nice to take different translations and read those because you get a refresh, a fresh understanding if you know it already in another place. Mm-hmm. And that, when you read that this morning, we went looking for another verse and you found that common sense and discretion because there's a lot of common sense needed in finance. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk to people who are just like, I'm so not full of common sense. Mm-hmm. And that's why being in community is so important, which is part of the verses you read also that that don't withhold good from those to whom it's due, from those who are in trouble. You know, we are in community, so we want to help each other. So sometimes you may feel like you're lacking common sense or discernment, mm-hmm. which was the other mm-hmm. one. But God says that those two are such valuable things. We can find them with him because he says, I am your security.
Right.
If terror comes, if the bills pile up and you're feeling so afraid, and honestly, we understand that. Mm. We're not telling you not to feel the stress. We're not telling you just, you know, bypass those feelings. Those feelings actually inform us of mm-hmm. what's going on in our life. And they're concerning. And God cares about those things and mm-hmm. cares about how you're feeling. But he does tell us there's common sense and discernment you can have. You can know that I'm your security. And then do it with the community around you. Don't withhold the good. And sometimes, David, I would say you have way more common sense than I do. And I sometimes see him chuckling at me because I just don't get it. Or I've always said something like physics, you know, I know that's not common sense, but you know, you can tell me how a battery works in the car 10 times, but I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I try, and unless I put my hands on it and you show and I have a tangible tactile experience with that learning, I won't remember it. And that's just part of who we are. And sometimes we need others who have some in this relation to the scripture, the common sense that God's talking about.
I just love that the scripture is full of common sense, but that the source of that is the Lord. Like, you know, again, as we say, you know, sometimes there's a shortage of common sense. I also think that could be related to just we kind of over spiritualize. We don't get the I'm going to say the dirt and the grit of what the scripture is saying or you know, putting us in the story and saying, well, you know, that's the word of the Lord comes to the Israelites and you look at it from outside the story and it's just, hey, that actually does make some common sense now that we know science or now that we see that from our perspective much later down. But back then, they would have just taken that as a word from the Lord.
Okay, this is a sidebar, but which is really cool, is that when Jesus became a rabbi, he became like the other rabbis, and rabbis debated, mm-hmm. talked about, discussed, questioned each other and their interpretations of scripture. So they'd be in groups and they mm-hmm. would be sharpening each other in the knowledge of the law, and it was a really good thing. And sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes, like after church on Sundays growing up, I didn't want to hear my family discussing the sermon, right? Maybe because we didn't know how to do it well. And we needed to know how to have discussions like that. But I do find it interesting that that common sense, the wisdom, the discretion, the discernment that we need comes from digging into the word a bit. Mm-hmm. And I find how interesting, you know, we talked about the pile that we started with and you were like, oh, this is just getting depressing. But when we take the pile and put it in the light of Jesus, we take it and let him inform us. Right. We take it in light of Proverbs 3, then what is common sense? And at more than enough, we try and make financial things very practical. You know, this is why we talk about the heart issues around money, but also the practical parts.
So common sense says to us something like, spend less than you make, right? And I think we can all agree. I mean, that's a statement that I probably say 30 times a week, right? You know, in the sense of saying, it's common sense that we all know and we can all agree that, yeah, you know, when it comes to money, spending less than you make, that's just common sense, right? If you don't do that, you're going to end up in a place.
But then we're all in trouble because we're not like, I mean, what did we just read? The consumer debt on credit cards in the U.S. We just heard a stat, $1.129 trillion. Like, in the U.S.
I don't want to go there. Okay, I want to go back to the scripture and go, okay, so, but, you know, if I use that example.
But why aren't using common sense then and living on less than we make?
Right. But if we do, right?
Like, okay. If we do, yes.
Then how is our sleep?
It's really great.
Right. So, this is what the scripture says is, you know, if you start using common sense, then you can go to bed and you can sleep well. And I think for me, when I read that verse and I related it to finance, I went, yep, that's absolutely true. Now, it is not easy. It's difficult, to your point.
I just read in one of my devotional books, actually, about a study that we're going to learn about because it's super interesting how two guys got a Nobel Peace Prize looking into how our brains are wired to make we make decisions that don't make – they're not reasonable.
Irrational,
thank you. Irrational decision. So I'm very curious to read about that study because if we're wired that way, then common sense will say one thing, but we're going to actually choose something that meets the more maybe the appetites and longings internally than the common sense.
I mean, and the scripture doesn't say that, but like it says, you know, pursue common sense. Like here's the benefit of common sense. But it doesn't say that it's easy.
No, but it does say it refreshes your soul, refreshes, which is fascinating.
Some great benefits of there it. You're going to sleep well. You're going to be refreshed. But I think it's really important for us in the context of our money to recognize that when we talk about this, when you and I sit here in the studio talking about it, that we are not assuming that it's easy.
No.
The scripture says it. We read it and we go, oh, that's amazing. And yet...
Okay, so then someone says, okay, well, I have my pile, Dave and Reb, like, great, but what does common sense say to this pile where I don't have margin, where I am actually looking at my finances? You told me to face my finances, I'm doing it, but I'm still struggling with all of the things that are happening in my own finances, and what do we say to that? So we have a piece of common sense, a part of what we want to share that you've heard us say before, but we felt like it was something really important to say again, and that is...
Common sense tells us that, you know, no matter how good at planning we are, no matter how good at management, no matter how good at math, no matter how good at stewardship, if we want to use that word, no matter how good we are with money, there will always be this part that says we cannot plan everything. We cannot forecast everything. We cannot know everything that's going to happen down next month, next week, next hour. We cannot know that. So common sense says to us, well, what do we do with that? And if we think about it just for a few minutes, and this is where we're going to go today, is in our money, then common sense says, I have to have an emergency cushion. I have to have an amount of money that is set aside so that when the emergency happens, not if, but when the emergency happens, common sense says that I need a place to go. And again, if I go to my banking or I go to my bank and I say, you know what, I need some cushion. I need some mechanism. We've been taught from the banks to say, okay, that's what a credit card is for. That's what a line of credit for. Just in case something happens, then you've got this other place to go. And our philosophy has been very much, as you know, we want to avoid debt. And when we think about it, again, common sense says that if my emergency cushion is a line of credit or a credit card, then when I have an emergency, which is something I cannot forecast and I have not prepared for financially, then my emergency, not only is it an emergency that affects my life, maybe a car repair or something happens, right? But then it's compounding the emergency because I have to pay interest on it. That line of credit, that credit card starts charging me interest immediately or after the grace period. And so you're going, wait a minute, common sense. Again, I'm going to go back to that. If I have an emergency, then what I've been told at the bank, which doesn't really smack to me as common sense, is to have an emergency cushion that actually works against me in paying it off. So I started looking at this many years ago, and we talked about the importance of an emergency cushion. And I went, an emergency cushion to me, here's what makes common sense to me. And you can disagree, by the way. Put the comments in the, if you're watching on YouTube, put the comments down there, or if you're you want to reach out to us. But common sense says to me, if I can figure out how to have my own self-funded emergency cushion, and then it makes interest when I don't use it. So it's growing, even a little bit of interest. It makes some interest while I'm not using it. And then when I use it, well, all I actually do is lose the growth. And then my goal is to actually replenish it. And so that emergency doesn't compound against me. It doesn't start charging me interest. It just costs me the growth. And then I go, well, that makes more sense to me. I'd rather have something that gives me money when I don't use it. And when I do use it, I have it there. And then I'm motivated to fill it back up because I want it to start producing more return on the money again that I have there. That to me gives me common sense. Is that?
And I don't think we've ever said it on the show like that, that you can put that $1,000, that $1,500, that $2,000. Some families have said, oh, we need $5,000 in our, and like
whatever that size number is,
we're not talking about the long-term bigger one that you have as a 3 to 6 months recovery.
Our goal is to get there, but we got to get rid of this debt in the middle.
But in the middle, when we have the pile, putting it somewhere where it's going to earn a little bit of interest for you is really a great idea. Mm-hmm. Like you can find a product that you could put it in. And the beautiful part about the emergency cushion that David and I practically learned in our seasons of raising our five kids, you know, the dogs and the cars and all of you've heard us talk about it before. And then not having a really big income, especially at the start of our More Than Enough journey, 15 years ago, if we did anything, we had our financial dates every week. Mm-hmm. We planned to spend what we had.
We planned what we spent, and we spent what we planned. Yeah.
And then we had this emergency cushion that we made automatic payments to. Every time we did have a paycheck, we would put money in it. Even though we actually had seasons where we weren't earning enough we had to draw on our bigger savings to live. Mm-hmm. But we still put money in this short-term emergency cushion because emergencies were going to happen. And I tell you, it is, I know it sounds funny, but it is one of the best things we've ever done. We still do it. We still plug money into there. It's automatic.
And I got to interject. So how was your sleep knowing the emergency cushion?
It was good because one of the things that when I was thinking about this show, I was like, safety is really important to me. Having a place to fall back, like if I'm going to fall out of a window, it's nicer to know that there's a big cushy cushion that I fall into, not the flat ground. And that's really where we get this cushion idea from, is that it's a place to soften the blow. Mm-hmm. And that's what emergency cushions do.
And I love that picture. And we like just to pause there because an emergency is an unexpected, and I'm going to use your word, blow. You are going to feel it, right? So think of it as, you know, if you and I are facing off and you give me a punch in the stomach, well, if I have nothing there as a cushion in between, I'm gonna feel that.
I don't hit him, by the way. No. I don't. I know.
Okay, but for the pitcher, if I put a pillow in the middle,
right,
and you do that same punch, I'll feel it. But boy, it takes the edge off.
Right.
And really, when we're talking about an emergency cushion, that's what we're talking about. We recognize that you can't plan everything, although, and I think in the last few minutes here, we need to talk about what you can plan and what is not an emergency.
I think we should talk about what if you can't find margin.
Right.
That is where my concern is. So people are feeling the pile and they're listening to the show and saying, Dave and Reb, like, I've looked at my spending plan. I don't have a lot of places to spend because my mortgage just went up. Right. Like, what am I to do? There are people out there who have margin. One client called and said, well, we're saving $2,000 a month, but now our mortgage has gone up and that has been greatly reduced, but we're okay because we have this margin. We're still putting a little bit away, but it's, you know, but some people aren't in that place. And what do you do when you can't find the extra to even build the emergency cushion? We want to just throw you some tips in the last few minutes. Okay,
so there are a few things that we want to do. So if you have $0 in your emergency cushion right now, set yourself a target to fill it up in the next 3 months.
Right.
So first of all, a timing target to say, listen, an emergency is going to happen. And what our experience is that, you know, once or twice a year, you might have an emergency that you cannot plan, that you did not know is coming. So our goal, when there's a $0 or your emergency cushion needs to be topped up, always work on a 3 month. Okay, where is it at now? Where do I want it to go? And how do I get it there in the next 3 months? And that speaks to some of the tips that you're talking about, Reb, is how do we get it there in 3 months?
Right.
And this is where just getting creative. I'm going to talk about the relationship part. You know, there is no, in fact, there's so much benefit in just saying to people around you, do you have an emergency cushion and how did you get it? Give me some ideas. I don't have a lot of margin. It may not come from my paycheck or it may not come from the regular spending. Maybe you can trim some off that. Maybe you can say, okay, this month, we'll be able to, or for the next 3 months, we'll be able to change our regular spending so we can move some money into the emergency cushion. That might be a possibility. And if so, remember, it's just a 3 month window. So, you know, tackle it hard for 3 months. It might come from your cash flow or your regular income that's coming in.
Or some of those extra purses that are lying around your house. Did you mention that?
Right. I didn't mention that. But, you know, walk around the house and go, is there stuff that you can sell? Is there stuff that you don't need? Is there stuff? And again, this is not easy. It takes some intentional, okay, I'm going to do some spring cleaning, or I'm going to just take a Saturday morning. And this is what I'm doing. I'm going through the closet and anything I haven't worn in the last 6 months or last year, or for the guys, it's going through the workshop and saying, okay, is there stuff here? Maybe I've got two power saws or something like that. Or again,
So then I have this question, because a few weeks ago we talked about mortgage rates increasing. So we've also said, if you have extra, start putting it on your mortgage.
Yeah.
What do we do first? Do we build this emergency cushion, even up if a person decides, you know what, I just want $500 in an account somewhere? Like, do we do that first before we throw it on our mortgage?
Absolutely. Remember, it's a 3 month window, right? So you can say, okay, for the next 3 months, I mean, the focus is long-term to put extra money on the mortgage to prepare for that. That's something we can prepare for. Yeah. But for the next 3 months, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to put it into the emergency cushion. Okay. Good plan, right?
And then once we've done that, you can, if you found extra margin in your spending plan, then you can put it on your mortgage then once that.
Sure. And then you just move it back in after 3 months.
And we've done a lot of teaching on the emergency cushion. We are reiterating some things, but what's new today is that issue that if you feel like you don't have the margin, how do you create it? So you can sell some stuff. You can ask others, as Dave said, what have you done? How are you building an emergency cushion? Or you can start that conversation with others. Mm-hmm. There's one client we had this week that took a part-time job so she could start building up that emergency cushion. And like David said, it might be a 3-month window. It might be a few shifts somewhere. Maybe you haven't thought about it. Maybe
it's a side gig. Again, yeah. Something you can do. And you do have to think this through. It has to make you money. So, you know, again, if you do a, let's say Uber, for example. Okay, so I start driving for Uber for a couple months, which could, you know, you have to have a car. You know, you have to consider the extra gas. You also have to consider the extra time and go, does that actually suit, right? Can I actually do that and have an end result of actually making money?
And then and sticking to the goal. So Dave said to me off camera today, like if you find $20 on the ground,
right,
or like you're out for a walk in the forest and there's, you know, you find some money on the ground, you could take that $20 and put it on your emergency cushion. Sometimes we think, let's go buy a book. I could go to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Well, not hardly anymore. But anyway, because of the cost. But you guys know what I mean. If this is your goal, this is your goal.
Okay, so we're coming to the end. And absolutely, the Lord is so gracious in his common sense that if you ask the Lord, or if you read through scripture, or if you, you know, there's so many stories about the Lord giving practical, clear suggestion. And I'm just going to reference the Peter story so that we know the story. The scribes and the Pharisees come to Peter and they say, hey, does Jesus pay the temple tax? And Peter says, oh, of course he does. And then he runs over to Jesus and say, do we pay the temple tax? And Jesus says, you know what? I don't have to. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to go fishing. You're going to take the coin out of the fish's mouth, and then you're going to pay the temple tax. Jesus is so practical. We can take so much encouragement from that one story to say, Jesus is going to put ideas in your head, how to build your emergency cushion. Ideas that Reb and I can't give you.
And you also have to be open to it. Peter was open to go fish, but he also used something that Peter was familiar with. So the Lord is going to, he knows you. So he's going to encourage you with who you are, with what you gifts you have to do this.
So I'm going to encourage you to go, if you get that crazy idea, or maybe not so crazy idea, but you're like, really? I'm going to go fishing? And there's, you know, like, go and do it, because you have no idea how the Lord is going to bring into your, just how the Lord's going to change that and do that. And again, if you're praying and you're saying, my focus is an emergency cushion, and then you make some money, make sure you get it into the emergency cushion. Make sure that you're committed to do that, because so many times we go, the Lord does give us wisdom and common sense to avoid, to take the stress away, to allow us to sleep calmly and peacefully at night. He gives us these things. And the emergency cushion we have experienced in not only in Reb and my life, but in the lives of so many of our clients, that when it's in place, they're like, yeah, I can sleep soundly at night. Mm-hmm. And that's just,
and that's just one practical common sense area. Yeah. Yeah, amazing. So Father, thank you so much for your wisdom and common sense and how you are eager to share that with us. Lord, I pray that people who are feeling overwhelmed today will be encouraged to seek you and to listen and to follow what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brent. I know he's got lots of common sense. So if you have more than enough, then reach out to Brent and the people at Crosspoint Financial and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.